Brother Ouellette, what do you do if you serve in a place? By the way, I think everybody knows, but let me introduce. This is Dr. R.B. Ouellette from Bridgeport, Michigan, Pastor Kevin Folger from Cleveland, Ohio, Pastor Scott Wendell from Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, Pastor Mike Edwards from Washington, D.C. area, Woodbridge, Virginia, and Pastor Tim Rabin from random and various places, but mostly North Carolina. So it's good to have you guys here with us today. All right. What do you do if you serve, and don't laugh at this question because there's some guys, this is their perception and maybe even a reality. What do you do if you serve in a place where the pastor and leadership tends to be more authoritarian in style? Brother Ouellette, I'll let you start with that. You might need a microphone. Yeah, all right. I'll get you a microphone. And I think this came from one of your staff members, but I'm not 100% sure. So here we go. Right. I don't know if those all are EQ'd the right way. So yeah, good. Okay, good.
Well, the first thing you do is you submit, and you take it as of the Lord that God has you to be there. The Bible says, if the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great wrath. And you learn the lessons God wants you to learn while you're there, and once you've learned them, he'll either change the heart of your leader or change your heart or send you someplace else.
And I think the key word in that question is style. If it's a style of leadership that's not your same style, then you need to do exactly what Brother Ouellette said. We're not advocating here abuse or, you know, a cussing staff meeting. We're not advocating those types of things, but there are different styles, and you can learn. I've found I can learn from different styles of leadership, and I've learned a lot in our movement from authoritarian styles, sometimes not good, sometimes good, but you can always learn, okay? So that's a good question, and thank you, Brother Ouellette. Anybody else want to comment on that one here? Brother Edwards, would you like to say anything about that? Just take a minute, maybe on the authoritarian style?
I am authoritarian, and I don't apologize. No. The older I have gotten, I've learned that a patient spirit, God sends us places on purpose. And I do think that the important thing is if God has called you to that place, sometimes people make the mistake of going someplace they're not called. Maybe it's just a convenient place. But if God has placed you there, he's placed you there for a purpose. There is something for you to learn, and there may be something for you to teach. And if you'll be patient and allow God to lead the way in that, you can develop, and maybe you'll be a real blessing to that person who is authoritarian and be a blessing to that ministry. Be patient and let God lead in it.
I mean, I can honestly say, and I think all these men would say as well, that my ministry leadership style has changed in 31 years. And I saw some real authoritarian models as I was a younger man, and I gleaned from that. But the Lord humbled me and began teaching me how to be a servant leader. And I'm still a strong leader, but a servant leader, and I'm still growing in leadership. So I would just say learn what you can and let God take that as a time for you in your life. Here, Brother Wendell, I want to ask you this one. What are some tips on creating alignment in your staff to support the vision? So some things that you might do with your staff to help them know alignment and clarity.
I believe that it is good to stay in communication with them. So we have our weekly staff meeting that includes pastors and some other leaders. We have an annual or a monthly all staff meeting as well. But I think part of that is the one-on-one time, just to be able to do exactly what you taught in this last lesson. And that is to be able to stay in touch with how they're feeling. I think part of that is trying to get away from being so addicted to technology that we just set it aside and we talk. Mm-hmm. And we do have that dialogue. I know it's a big step for some to get away from to do that. But I think of Mark 3:14 where Jesus said he ordained 12 that they should be with him. And so they're with him in the morning for breakfast and lunch and walking and evenings and being able to communicate that. And then to be able to have the communication of, rather than this is what I want you to do, is to be able to ask questions. What do you think about this? What if we tried it this way? And then to be able to promote it in such a way as being able to, well, let's try this as a pilot program, and being able to communicate and move it. And that way, if it's a pilot, you don't like it, you can move it back. I think that's one good time here, you did a Thursday night midweek service, and you tried it and said, okay, we're going to go back to this. But you're willing to communicate that vision and being able to have them on board. It's easier to get to the top of the mountain by myself. If I'm going to take 10 people with me, I have to go slower. But when you get to the top, there's a lot more rejoicing when others are with you.
Amen. You know, it's really good about spending time. And I think for me, that's been a lesson the Lord's been teaching me this past year, just getting more time with our leaders. And a couple of the guys said, you know, we put on a conference, and you preach in conferences all the time, but our staff doesn't go to a conference. Our staff hasn't gone to a conference in years and years. And so we're going to the Crystal Cathedral next. We're gonna find a place to go and just stay up late and get tired like you guys are doing this week. So here's a question that deals with rhythm, and I'd like to ask Brother Folger and Brother Raven, what are some adjustments that you've made in schedule? Maybe as a pastor, maybe since the church was tired, or maybe the church needed something extra. And just to keep what you felt as a pastor was a godly rhythm necessary. Brother Raven, will you take that one on and talk about that subject for a moment?
The first thing is you've got to admit you need an adjustment.
Right.
You know, some of us are too proud to do that. We've always done it this way.
Right.
And so we're just too proud to say it won't work. And you know, it's kind of like your illustration of old-fashioned day. You know, I can remember when my boy said, I don't think that really works. And, you know, there are things that don't work. And then there are things that do work. And honestly, the older you get, the more difficult it is to accept those things that do work that you've never tried before.
Good.
I'll give you a personal illustration. This spring, we did our first baptism Sunday. We'd never done baptism. And when it was suggested in our staff, I said, well, we try to get folks baptized every week. And they said, yeah, but if we put a big push on. And sure enough, 25 people followed the Lord in baptism.
Amen.
And we baptized them in our lobby. We set up a pool in our lobby and all went out there after service and gathered around, got on the stairs, sang together, testified together. And it was a wonderful, wonderful time. So be willing to make some adjustments. And some of those adjustments are personal. Some of those adjustments were your family. Just like those of us that have children. You don't parent a 13-year-old like you do a 3-year-old. And you don't pastor a church that's 65 years old like you did when it was 6 years old.
Right.
And so the Lord would give you wisdom and just ask him and make the adjustment. Be willing to make the change. Our problem as fundamentalists, we equate change with compromise.
Right.
We think they're the same.
Right.
And things do change, and you just need to be willing to admit it.
Amen. Thank you so much. That was excellent. And Brother Folger, thoughts on rhythm?
Well, there's obviously always busy seasons in ministry, and as you look at your calendar, you realize there are going to be some busy seasons, and then you obviously try to either along the way make the adjustments or as you're planning the calendar say, okay, well, we can only do this. Summer tends to be an extremely busy season in our ministry. We just run from one event to the next, and then as school gets started, so we try to back some things down just a little bit in the fall as far as just how busy the staff is and those type of things. Then you obviously have to assess your own life. How busy am I, and are there times when I need to pull back and just, you know, step away for a little bit? And sometimes that's not always easy, depending upon the size of the staff and who you have on your staff and how capable they are of handling things as you're stepping back. We've been blessed having my son serves as was an associate pastor, now is a co-pastor with us. And I feel now that I can step away, it's a little bit easier knowing things are going to be handled and the preaching's going to be covered and everything's going to work well. But we have to just obviously assess that. And again, part of that is that adjustment we heard today and then making those adjustments as we're going forward.
Amen. And I think it's interesting. I think, let's see, the five of us here have sons in the ministry, and something Brother Raven said about sometimes listening to what your son says, and I think there's sometimes that's scary. I'm telling you, it's going to be scary, but sometimes there's some wisdom there. And I know, Brother Edwards, we've talked about that. And I thank the Lord for young men in the ministry, and sometimes they challenge our thinking. And I think it is important as we're talking rhythm and pace and special days that we have an ear to hear. And thank you for those thoughts. Brother Ouellette, I just can't wait to hear your answer on this next question. We currently have a business meeting once a month where they run through the past month's minutes and then go over all the financial statements that month. I would somehow like to cut this down. What would be your approach?
Well, we have one deacon's meeting a year, most years at our church. It lasts about 7 minutes. They come into my office after church on a Sunday night. We go over the budget for the next year, ask if they have any questions. Their wives are waiting for them to leave, and it doesn't last very long. We have one business meeting a year. It lasts about 6 or 7 minutes. The auditor gives the report. We tell them who's running for deacon, show them the budget, ask if there are any questions. We typically have from 0 to 3 questions. It didn't start out that way. They had monthly meetings for the budget, the business meeting and the deacon's meeting. And what I did, first of all, I moved the monthly business meeting to after the Bible study. So they're wanting to go home. And then I found some reasons not to have deacon's meetings. Because if you have a monthly meeting and you don't have anything to talk about, you'll talk about things that aren't really any of their business. And you do that long enough, and then they think it is their business. So I just gradually eliminated those things and changed them. And we will vote without having a business meeting. When we build a building, I'll say 2 weeks from now, we're going to vote on this building. Well, we'll take the questions all ahead of time. When we have the vote, then there are no necessary questions. We voted on March 21st. To call J.D. Howell as the co-pastor of our church. For the next 2 years, I'm the pastor. He's the co-pastor. That means if I die, if I'm fired, if I quit, he automatically becomes the pastor. And at that meeting, we had no questions. You got over 99% of the vote, thank the Lord. But we had 2 Sunday nights before that where people could ask any questions they wanted to. We let them write them down and then pass them out. So I don't want to be unapproachable. I don't want people to think they can't ask questions. I just make a bigger deal about seeing people saved, watching people grow, talking about the work of God, than talking about how the money was spent. For a long time, we made a list of all the checks and made it available to all the people monthly. But it took the business guy a long time, and nobody looked at it. So now we just say, anybody wants to know, come ask us. And nobody comes and asks us.
I told you he's authoritarian. I wanted you to hear it right out of his own mouth. So let me make 2 comments about that. First of all, and that is how they do that. He has been there for how many years, by the way? I do not recommend that for young pastors just getting started immediately. But the other thing is, Brother Ouellette, though they have very few meetings, is constantly in contact with people and very, very approachable. And so that was how he does it. I'll tell you how we do it. We have about 10 deacons meetings a year where we go through many different things of the ministry, and part of that's the finances. I lay out the entire budget with variances. What are we over on? What are we under on? I explain to them any significant happenings with the finances. They take the report home. They can ask questions. We also have one meeting a year. Here at the church, and we present the budget from last year and the budget for this year and talk about any of the projects. But we really emphasize here an open-door policy. People can call anytime they want and ask questions, and that's worked real well. Any of you guys have a monthly meeting still? Brother Braben, you have a... Tell us, do you Oh, with the deacons, yeah. Okay, yeah. Deacons, all right.
Yeah, with deacons, we meet once a month.
So I would say the general consensus on this question is that most of the churches that I fellowship with don't have a public monthly meeting where they go over every bit of that budget with the whole church. So, all right. Well, here's one final question. I'll try to be sensitive to the time here. And here's what I'm going to do. For those of you that sent these questions in, I promise that within the next 60 days, I'll answer every one of these on my blog, and I'll try to get some of these guys to collaborate with me. But for the sake of time, let's do one more. What is the number one thing to do when church attendance drop, folks leave because of certain topics or if staff leaves? What is something that if there's an obvious downturn that you would say is the number one thing that you would do in the ministry? And that's a tough question. I'm going to throw it to you first, Brother Wendell. Let's each of us answer this question and maybe give it about a minute each, all right?
We were blessed abundantly when we went about 20... it might have been like 27 years of numerical and financial growth. And so when we hit the year where we didn't, it's like, what have we done wrong? And as you went through those stages today, I thought that was very interesting to see where we are and where we need to be going. What really catapulted that was a commitment to prayer. When we began prayer partner ministry, we began a time of getting back to prayer time on Wednesday nights. And I noticed some people leaving when we started the prayer time, so I switched it. And we have the prayer time first, and then we have the Bible study.
Amen.
And just to keep that back, and then the prayer meetings with the deacons, they pray with different folks every Sunday morning as well. We're getting ready to go into a building program. And so we now have monthly prayer meetings just for the building. I'm starting that on Sunday nights, the first Sunday night of the month. We have a prayer for prodigals, the second Sunday night of the month at 5:00. And so I think it's back to that Acts 4. Amen. They prayed, the place was shaken, and the disciples were multiplied. So I'd say let's get away from our programs and all the things that we do to manufacture growth, and let's just have a healthy church by walking with God.
Praying. Amen. Amen.
I would say when I do notice, I'll answer that question in two ways. Number one, if there is a time when we've obviously become stagnant and we haven't grown or we haven't seen people being saved, people being baptized, people joining, and so on, the answer is always assessment. What are we not doing? What do we need to change and how we do it? And that's an ongoing thing. I've been at the same church for 37 years now, and churches do have seasons just like a life has a season. Things have shelf life, and I just think that really, as we heard in Brother Chappell's session this morning, there just has to be a constant assessment of what used to work, what maybe it doesn't work now, maybe we've become boring in something we're doing or stagnant in something we're doing, and we have to assess that. The other thing I would say, though, is that there can also be seasons where God purges.
Yeah.
And if someone does leave or if a group is concerned, I try not to be guided only by circumstances. Sometimes God does things in a very special way. Again, I always assess. I don't want to be personally offensive. I can be authoritarian. I want to check myself on that. And quite frankly, if there's a way that I've gotten out of balance, if I need to apologize, if I need to clarify, if I need to communicate with a group, then I'm perfectly Amen. Willing to do that. I don't know if that's easier. The older you get, you realize that you are not God, and you do make mistakes, and God works in you the same He does others. So two levels, just assess if things have grown stagnant and they need to be changed. Assess if you have become offensive and maybe you need to correct something Amen. In your dealing with people.
I would agree with both of these men already, but the other thing I would add is a need to be steady yourself. The last thing that anybody needs in a church is a pastor who's lost his own heart. And you just got to be steady. That'll require extra time with the Lord and may require some extra effort on your part, but there needs to be stability. Mm-hmm. And so just ask the Lord to help you know what the problem is, assess the problem, as Brother Edwards said, then acknowledge it, admit it. But all the time, I think the pastor has to be steady. Not perfect. We're not perfect. I may be steady with my people when I'm not steady with my wife. You know, she may see me come apart. But as Vance Havner said, you better come apart or you'll come apart. And so ask the Lord to help you to be steady.
Amen. Amen.
Church, in many respects, is like a body. It is a body. It's what the Bible calls it. It's the body of Christ. And I have assessed in the many years of ministry in one place that there are times when that body just, because of different things, it just we may have a problem in the church that causes the need of surgery. And when a body has surgery, it takes a while for it to recover. So, as already been stated, part of it is just staying the course. Again, we do need to assess. We need to look and see if there's something going on that we're under. I've been aware that there are times when things are going on under the surface. I knew something was going on. I didn't know what it was. But at some point, it comes to the surface, and you have to deal with it. And so you just have to be, again, be that steady hand, doing what God wants you to do, and just, again, sometimes it's just plodding. It's just getting through it, and as that body recovers, it begins to get that rhythm back, and things pick up again, but you just have to stay the course.
Amen.
Prayer is vital. We went through a difficult time probably 13 years ago, started a midnight men's prayer meeting. We've compromised and moved it to 11 p.m. now. We pray at 9 o'clock Saturday mornings, 6 o'clock Wednesday nights. And then, in addition to all the things that have been said, you have to deal with your spirit. It'll be as big of a problem to the members of your church as it is to you. If you're happy, if you're excited about what you preach, if you're rejoicing in the good things God is doing, then it won't be a big deal to them. Okay. And then you work on the strategy. So if you're losing people, you got to get more people. And the way to do that is go knock on some more doors.
When Dr. Gibbs came out and spent that time with me when we went through some troubled waters, he said, I've got some things that I will encourage you to do. And I said, all right, good. And I took my pen out. And the first one he said is, when it's time to sing, stand on your tippy toes and sing really loud. And I'm writing this down. I'm like, what? I mean, this guy stood before the Supreme Court, and that's the best he can give me, you know? And what he was telling me was simply this, to get the joy and model the joy of the Lord, because people will make as big a deal of it as you do. And so those were some great answers. Thank you, fellas. Let's thank these guys for coming up and sharing this time with us.